Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester with you as always, Wheels Lanker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
Good, I'm excited. This is one of my favorite episodes of the NFL season.
What's that?
It's our power ranking show.
This is the only episode where we're going to do power rankings the whole season?
I think last year we did it quarterly. We did it after like week 4, then 8, and then 12. So Okay. We haven't done it yet, but we could do it a second time.
All right. Yeah, speaking of second times, this is the second time we've tried recording this podcast because my microphone stopped working randomly a few minutes ago.
All right, that's not interesting.
Yeah, I blame my son. He wandered over and grabbed it and just stopped working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on cheapo headphones now. I shouldn't say cheapo because they actually cost a fortune. My wife bought Bose, like, noise-canceling, like, fancy-schmancy headphones.
Is she a big shopper, your wife?
No, she's not. But to me, headphones and sunglasses are the two things that I understand that there's value in, like, the super expensive ones. But to me, I'm going to lose them or break them every 5 minutes, so I'll just buy $10 ones over and over again.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Buy, like, $20 headphones. I actually think, like, the $20 headphones are way better than the $10 headphones.
Yeah.
At a certain point, they just break on every third use, and that's not helpful.
Yeah, don't buy headphones or iPhone chargers on the street. They work for three times.
Not even. Yeah, sometimes my wife will buy like 99-cent stores type headphones, and they don't even work the first time out of the thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's one time in my life, both for sunglasses and for headphones, that I spent more than $20 on it. And both times I liked the more expensive version, but I had lost them or they broke within a couple of months.
So. Yeah, I've never had a pair of headphones they're like goldfish for me. I've never had a pair of headphones more than like a month.
Yeah, and also you like to stick goldfish in your ears, or?
I'm going to let that go.
That was just a weird analogy. What are you, killing your goldfish every month?
What, have you ever had a goldfish? They don't live. Everyone on Earth except for you understood that reference immediately.
No, I
haven't. They die really fast. Sometimes like... Yeah. 2 days, your kids never come home from a carnival with like goldfish in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
And you got to get the tank and all that stuff.
My science teacher in junior high.
Big tank is really getting you to spend all that. You know, they're giving out the free goldfish.
Oh, the craziest example of that is, the only time I've ever had a goldfish is in eighth grade. I won a goldfish at a perm carnival and I didn't realize that they cost like 49 cents. So I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And our goldfish was failing to thrive. Yeah. So I took him to like the pet store for an analysis, and I'm sure they were pulling this out of their butt, but they like did some drops and they tested him, they claimed, and they said that he had some kind of disorder where he had to swim in bottled water and it had to be switched out 4 times a day.
Wow.
So they were definitely screwing with me. So I drove with my mother to Costco and we bought like these huge jugs of water. We were replacing it at like every 3 hours, and then the fish died after 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. They could really, you could scam the Chesters into buying anything. Yeah. It sounds like.
Well, I was like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. So let's do our power rankings this week, and we will, we'll go through the power rankings and we'll discuss the teams that way. Should we give a quick update in the 32 fans pick 'em pool?
No, I'm in it and I don't care, so no one else cares. I feel like that pool's a flop.
Big flop. I have a lot of people IMing me or Twittering me or like every single day, just every single week, excuse me.
I have not heard one thing about the pool the entire
just in
time.
Just in the last 5 hours, no one cares. I have heard from 1, 2, 3, 4 people in the pool about it.
I feel like half the people don't even remember it's still going on.
Well, and they're making their picks
like
every week.
The schedule's weird. You have to like go to a Google Doc to check it. You're not sending out updates.
I don't let you.
Well, send like every few weeks. Send one out this week. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not letting you run any more pools.
I mean, everybody's made all their picks, which is more than we can say for your pool. You're
really
four,
nobody forgot. No, not one person's forgotten to pick. That's actually very impressive.
Exactly. And again, 4 people IM'd me just today about it to comment on their good or bad schedule.
Why does everyone always IM you about podcast related stuff and not me?
I don't know. Cause one of them is Ari Gold, who was your friend first.
Yeah.
One of them was who else IM'd me today about it. Mike Clark, who was your friend first.
Sure.
Another one. Yeah. I'm not sure why they're reaching out to me.
Wow. But, maybe I'm very like scary, off-putting or
I'm
just
a likable
like,
one.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
I respond to everything. If someone emails me, or like I respond to 100% of all my messages because
you don't
it
respond
bothers
to all my except unless they're for me.
Oh no! Sometimes you email you like G chat me at 4 a.m. and I don't even see those.
No, I'm talking about I'll send you like a long detailed chart which doesn't elicit a response.
No, but I see it. I'll look at everything. I give everything
a
chance.
Like, you'll observe it. All right.
If it was Twitter, I'd like it. I wish you could like things on like G chat or you know
on WhatsApp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can reply to the comment with a thumbs up.
You're a sociopath. You don't believe in liking on Twitter, which is insane.
Well, I started to do it a little bit. I'm going to my Twitter profile right now. I had one like as of like 6 months ago, and I'm up to 83 likes.
Yeah, you should like everything, unless it's something really like offensive that you don't like, actually, you should like every tweet at you.
No, you can't give them out that easy.
No, you can, because then you don't have to, if someone asks you a question, like a lot of times we'll get for the Seinfeld podcast on, you know, let's say on Twitter, hey, did you see this? And I like it.
I'd rather respond with a personal tweet.
I'm not going to respond to like every single, because then I have to read the whole thing. And then you get into like a 4 or 5 at reply, which I don't want to do, but.
No. Well, anyways. All right. So let's do our power rankings. We both have the same team at number 32. Unsurprisingly, the Cleveland Browns.
I don't know if it's the mic or you're just especially nasal today.
Let's blame the mic. Okay. I mean, I have a cold, but we can blame the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Cleveland Browns, they almost pulled off a win against your Jets, and going forward, that was probably their best chance. So 0-16 might be in the conversation.
First team ever to blow a 13-point home lead against the Jets. First time in the Jets franchise history.
That the Jets had never come back from 13 points. That's insane.
No, on the road. At home, obviously, they've done it. Monday Night Miracle, they were already down by 13 at the half.
Okay, but still, that seems kind of, I feel like that happens once a week.
Yeah, not to the Jets.
Yeah, apparently not.
And the Jets had their first linebacker interception in almost 4 years.
Yeah, so Cleveland's at home against Dallas. You know, we will discuss that game, I guess, when we cover the Cowboys, because Cleveland's in a...
So I think we should discuss each game the first time we get to the game.
Yeah, all right, that way we won't forget. All right, so Dallas against Cleveland, obviously we're both taking Dallas, right?
Yeah, if I was still in a survivor pool, suicide pool, you know, this is a good game this week.
You got knocked out by the Vikings last night, like half of America.
Yeah, your Vikings really screwed me and a lot of people over, and they're terrible. And, people say, like, oh, never take the team on the road. But there was just the second best option was probably the Jets on the road. There just was no good home option last week.
Yeah. It's always great. Like, as bad as the feeling is of getting eliminated in Survivor, the best feeling in Survivor is when there's a team that the majority of people have taken that week and you get through against that team and then that team loses. Yeah.
So, right. If the Vikings won, then not one person would have been eliminated from the Survivor pool last week.
Yeah. All right, number 31, we're both tied yet again, San Francisco. You know, not a lot to say about San Francisco either. They are hosting the Saints this week.
It's tough sledding.
Yeah, coming off a bye. Any chance for a win?
You know, there's a lot of these, like we talked about it earlier in the year, the week one fluky result. And
San Francisco does that every year. That's the tradition.
And so they destroyed the Rams on that late Monday night game in week one.
Yeah. As they did to the Vikings the year before.
And they've only been single digits once since. Ironically, that was to the Cowboys, maybe the best team in the NFC. But they've been destroyed. Now, you could say they've played a very tough schedule other than the Rams game. But their last game, they lost at home to Tampa by 17.
Yeah. And I think I made the mistake of picking San Francisco at least to cover in that game. So I'm not going to make that same mistake again.
Kaepernick's running again, but he's not good. He's not good at passing. Saints. Their schedule is tough also. They go to Arizona. They have the Patriots.
They're rooting for Corey Coleman and Terrell Pryor to put together a big game and, you know, the Browns win a game so that they can weasel their way into the one spot.
Yeah, I think they're really looking at the two. But I looked at Mel Kiper's top 12 picks. And obviously this stuff changes a lot. You'll have a quarterback no one's ever heard of, like a Carson Wentz, who's not even in D1, you know, at this time last year.
Yeah.
Or one, whatever it's called now, FBS. Anyway, Mel Kiper's top 12 are 10 front seven players and 2 running backs.
Yeah.
No quarterbacks, no running backs, no quarterbacks, no wide receivers.
Yeah, but again, at this point last year, there was no Carson Wentz, there was no Jared Goff.
Yeah, but I'm sure somebody else was at least in the top 12. Like, he's saying right now, there's no QB worthy of being in the top 12.
Yeah, so bad times for San Francisco and Cleveland in the draft.
I mean, maybe they could get defensive players or they could trade. Like, the Browns, they need a million picks, so, you know, to screw them all up. So maybe the Browns could trade the first pick for some more picks.
Yeah, well, but the Browns desperately need a quarterback. Both of these teams desperately need a quarterback.
Obviously. Do you have any thoughts on the Collins trade while we're talking to the Browns again?
No, I don't think there's anything original to say. The best part is how Mike Lombardi, who's such a shill for Belichick, immediately is trashing Jamie Collins left and right everywhere he can. And Bill Simmons, who loves to make fun of like the Red Sox for doing that, of course won't say anything about Lombardi because it's his buddy.
I don't know why Simmons likes Lombardi so much.
I can't fathom it. I cannot.
It doesn't make any sense. And Simmons is not is the type of guy, like a lot of like leaders at companies, who don't have a number two who could say like, oh, this guy sucks, get rid of him.
Simmons seems to legitimately think he's awesome though. And Simmons talks about how like the fans love him. Is that true? Are there lots of people tweeting support of Lombardi that we're just not aware of?
I don't know.
Or is Simmons missing the sarcasm in all those tweets?
I mean, I could check after, like do some Twitter searches, like, you know, M. Lombardi Fox TV, awesome. M. Lombardi Fox TV, horrible. Never have him on again. But I he's just so bad. Like, yeah. He has all these, he has a very good memory. That's literally the only thing Mike Lombardi brings to the table. And yeah. He'll remember things, but he can't articulate them at all. And he'll just like this week's podcast, he was talking about like, oh, you know, like the 1950s Packers. And I'm sure that he had an interesting story in his head, but not one person out of the 400,000 people listening, not one knew what he was talking about. Like, you have to at least, you know, go a step further with that story. It makes no sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. So we're both picking the Saints at San Francisco. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Number 30 in the power rankings. And again, we're still tied. Both of us have the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was one of the many people. I took Tennessee, but I picked Jacksonville to cover. I thought they would have a chance, and they continued to be a terrible embarrassment. Somehow Gus Bradley still has his job, which nobody can possibly understand. And I assume that Khan, at this point, he's just focused on, you know, the Premier League has started up again, so he's forgotten that he owns an NFL team.
Well, you know, the problem is now they have – well, his team isn't in the Premier League this year, I don't think. Isn't Fulham relegated?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He's in the championship. He said, too bad he can't be relegated from the NFL, or his team would be in, like, you know, the baseball equivalent of, like, low single-A ball at this point. They would have been relegated 4 years in a row.
And they'd still have Gus Bradley at coach, though.
They'd be, like, the leads of that is true. Like, in English soccer, like, if you get relegated, you know, you lose your job. But I'm sure, like, once in a while, a guy's kept his gig. But like, you imagine like a team just keeps getting relegated, but they don't fire their coach.
Yeah, that would.
My big concern with the Jaguars is Blake Bortles is like the key, even though he's the worst player in the NFL. He's the key to my like amazing fantasy football team.
That's fine. All you need to make sure is that they're losing by a lot in the fourth quarter of every game.
No, I'm nervous that he's going to lose his job at a certain point.
For who? For Chad Henne? Come on.
I mean, do they have a third string who's like young?
I don't know. So did you see Thursday night during that game? I went.
They do. They have Brandon Allen, who's a rookie, who's like a late round pick. So they could definitely go to him, like, you know, fantasy playoffs time. He's a sixth round
pick. So I did some research Thursday night during that game. Yeah. You know, everybody knows that Blake Bortles is a great garbage time fantasy player. But I actually wanted to know, like, how much is this actually the case? So I looked up in Pro Football References, where you can get all this info. It's great. I looked up every one of his 55 career touchdown passes. Okay.
Yeah.
And of his 55 career touchdown passes, 30 of them. Were thrown when his team was down by at least 2+ scores, so 9 points or greater at the time.
Yeah.
Now, 30 out of 55 is by far the highest percentage. He's the only player in history with at least 50 touchdown passes for whom that's been the case on a majority of his throws. To give you an example of how crazy that is, Archie Manning is by a massive margin the losingest quarterback of all time. Archie Manning's career record is insane. 35-101-3. He's 66 games below 500. Archie Manning, I mean, it's insane that a quarterback played that long and lost that much, okay? So Archie Manning, his entire career basically was losing. And he's only at 57 out of 125. Only 46% of his touchdown passes were thrown when his team was down by at least 2+ scores. And this was going into the game. And all three of Blake Bortles' touchdowns, of course, Thursday night, were when they were down by multiple scores. So now he's up to 33 out of 58, which is an incredible 57%.
Yeah.
57%. Do you want to take a guess? Tom Brady, he's thrown 436 career touchdown passes. What percentage of his touchdown passes were thrown when his team was trailing by 2+ scores?
Well, they're never trailing by 2+ scores.
So just guess.
8%.
9%. Very good guess.
Oh, good guess, yeah.
And Blake Bortles at 57%. So Blake Bortles is only good in the fourth quarter of games when his team is losing by a fortune. And but they're playing at Kansas City this week, so I think you'll get another couple garbage touchdown.
I don't know.
Assuming Alex Smith plays.
Yeah, I think Smith is playing because he doesn't have a concussion. I don't like Kansas City might be too good for that nonsense late in the game. That defense. Like, I'm not so sure he's getting those two fourth quarter touchdowns this week.
Yeah, Kansas City has a good defense. We'll get some of the power rankings. You disrespected them a little bit, but...
And the truth is, Jaguars play a lot. I don't know why we're spending so much time on the Jaguars. Like, Jaguars play a ton of good defenses coming up. Denver's, Minnesota's. They're in big trouble. Houston's.
Yeah. So, sell high.
I mean, they're not in big trouble. Like, their season's over, but...
Blake Bortles is fantasy at prospect.
Yeah. I mean, it... You know, the last two regular season weeks, Denver and Minnesota is ugly.
Yeah. All right, number 29, I have the Chicago Bears. You have them at 28 because you have the Jets at 29, hating on your Jets. So are we doing my list or your list? How are we doing this?
Oh, I thought you were going to average them together.
I was just going to average them together. Ugh, give me a minute. All right, well, either way, the Chicago Bears are next because I have them 29, you have them at 28.
Okay.
And I have the Jets a little bit further up than that. The Chicago Bears, obviously, they beat the Vikings last night. I think that says more about the Vikings than it does about the Bears. Now they're on a bye this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's these offensive line games are weird. You know, we saw it last year. By the time the Patriots got to the AFC Championship game, they literally just couldn't block anymore. And there's, you know, there is a point where when your offensive line is so bad, it devalues the rest of your team. Where if you have just like an atrocious running back or, you know, 15 injuries at running back, even the guy off the street won't ruin your season. But obviously for an O-line, it will. And we'll talk more when we get to Minnesota and Seattle because it's the same case in both. But I just, you know, I don't know what to do. Like, maybe Chicago's competent now with Cutler back. They're not good, obviously, but.
No. Cutler wasn't great. They had, like, how'd
they get 20 points against you guys?
Okay, well, part of it was. Okay, so the touchdown was on the play. Xavier Rhodes, their shutdown corner, got injured. The very next play, Trey Waynes came into the game and they threw it right to Alshon Jeffery, who was covered by Trey Waynes. And Trey Waynes can't play defense, unfortunately. Which is, you know, another thing we talk about when we get to the Vikings.
Yeah, but you gave up over 150 yards to a garbage running back.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Howard. Yeah, you know, the excuses that they were giving last night on TV were at a certain point, a defense is fatigued by the offense doing nothing and they can't show up game after game. I'm sorry, that's not true. The Broncos last year, Peyton Manning was the worst quarterback in the league. You know, the 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears, you know, there's a lot of defenses we've seen. Even Seattle, you know, 2013, 2014, whatever it was. The Vikings defense is not at that level. Last night, they got no pressure on the quarterback. They hit Cutler once the entire game. They got eaten up alive. The running game, I mean, they're just gashed, their running defense. You know, they're missing their starting tackle. They're missing their starting free safety. They're missing two cornerbacks at this point. That's not even before we get to the offense. So I think the Vikings season, unfortunately, it's just at a certain point, you just have too many injuries and it's a lost year. And it's sad because this year started with such promise. But I think that's where I still think they're going to make the playoffs. But this is not a team that's going to do anything in the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, someone's got to win the NFC, but we could do that more as we get towards the top.
All right. So next on this list, I guess since we're averaging them out, we will have the Jets. I have them at 27. You have them at 29. You know, they got another win. That's two in a row. They're going into Miami. This is a big one. If you win this one, your season still is a little bit alive.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is they still have two games left against the Patriots. You know, and they basically have to, you know, they have one more loss the rest of the way if they wanted a wild card. It's ridiculous to talk about a wild card for a team this terrible. Fitzpatrick upped his numbers to one TD, 10 interceptions in the second half. Yeah. I mean,
really
this is
the second half numbers.
I mean, this is not
going to play Bortles.
I mean, they've been destroyed by every decent team they've played except Buffalo, who I don't know how, you know, I mean, they're good now, but they weren't good when they played the Jets.
Can you give me odds right now on the Jets starting quarterback in week 1 of the 2017 season?
Odds?
You know, X percent chance it's Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler has better chances than anybody on the team right now. Bryce Petty clearly sucks. I know he's a little hurt, but they don't seem to be too enthused about him. Hackenberg won't be able to win any sort of training camp competition because he's so bad. So even though he'll probably be in the mix... And, I mean, there's no quarterbacks, and now they're probably going to win too many games to get, you know, the first or second pick and get a quarterback. They'll probably be, like, seventh or eighth.
No chance Fitzpatrick's on this team next year, right?
I mean, I think there's too much bad blood that I don't think.
What about Geno? There's not enough bad blood with Geno. He's still there.
I think they're going to move on from Geno.
Yeah, bad times for the Jets. All right, next on our list.
The one thing I'll say about the Jets, like, the only reason if someone wanted to put them a tiny bit higher, is they are an extra point away from being 4-4. Like, that Bengals game... They could have won. They'd be 4-4 now. We wouldn't be talking about how bad they were, even though they are terrible.
Yeah. All right, so the Jets at Miami. I'm going to pick Miami. What about you?
Yeah, Miami. Right. I mean, the thing is that Revis isn't even trying anymore. So it's
he's at it. He's not trying. It's not just that he's bad, but he's not.
No. Like, you've never seen anything like this in your life. He is playing to not get hurt. Like, he's just, I don't know if he thinks he's going to retire at the end of the year. So he just doesn't want, like, you know, to go out with, you know, another concussion or something. But it's remarkable. Like, he used to be an above average tackler for a cornerback. He, like, olays people now on purpose. Like, he runs away. Anytime a running back someone with the ball gets 1 yard past him, he, like, does a pretend running thing. He's not even running after the ball. It's insane. I've never seen anything like this. Like, you know, search Revis, like, loafing or Revis, like, not trying on Twitter. You'll see, like, 20 GIFs or GIFs or whatever used to be Vines, but I don't know if you could still see Vines, of Revis, like, literally just not caring at all. I've never seen anything like it.
But what's the explanation?
I did see one
on Sunday.
There was 10 of them. It's crazy, and it's not the only week he's done it. He's not tackling anymore. Pryor dropped a couple wide open balls, or he would have had 200 yards against Revis.
But what's the explanation? Why?
He doesn't care. Brandon Marshall called him out in training camp for not caring. He said, "You don't care." And everyone thought, oh, it's not a big deal, or they just meant because he's overweight, which he admitted this week he was overweight at the beginning of the year. And nobody knew. And like now he just doesn't care anymore. He has a Super Bowl. He's, you know, set for life at this point. He's made a ton of money. He's held out 5 or 6 different times in his career. And, you know, he's come out ahead financially. And he just realized he doesn't have it. He said last week, like, he knows his skills have slipped. It's a shame because he just needed to be mediocre for a couple of years to make the Hall of Fame, you know? Like, he didn't need to add to his, like, legendary 08 season, you know, immortal 09 season. He just needed to play, like, be on the field. Like, we don't know if Charles Woodson was actually good. I think he was, but, you know, those last few years. But he was just adding years where he made Pro Bowls and, you know, boosted his stats. But Revis is, he might be in the league next year. He's so bad.
So he will not be in the Hall of Fame. That's your prediction right now?
I don't know. I'd really have to look at it more. But he's definitely putting, he said himself that, because he was so good early in his career, he's the only cornerback ever who's had his stats analyzed on a game-to-game basis like this, which I think is true.
He said that himself?
He said this week, yeah. He said he's the only cornerback in history who gets analyzed the way quarterbacks get analyzed.
I remember, like, Deion Sanders, excuse me, I don't know who Deion
Sanders. Yeah, but we didn't even have, like, the thought capacity to be, like, the guy Deion took got, like, 6 catches for 48 yards and a touchdown. There was no such thing.
I remember they used to show that on Fox.
If you will not, maybe at the very end of his career, once he was, like, not as good anymore, and speaking of guys who didn't tackle, Deion never tackled.
Well, he didn't have to. Nobody threw the ball towards him.
But I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find, like, decent statistics about, like, the guy Deion Sanders took, like, what their statistics were in any given season. There was no Pro Football Focus or equivalent then. Yeah. Anyway, we're spending too much time talking about an abominable team, the Jets, who have shamed their families this season.
Oh, wow. Harsh words. All right, so next we have the Los Angeles Rams. I have them at 25. You have them at 27. Coming off a bye, the Rams, this week they are hosting the Carolina Panthers, who we'll talk about in a bit. We should probably discuss the game more when we discuss the Panthers, but I will say I'm going to pick Carolina to win that game in LA. But I've picked Carolina every single week this year, and I have not done well so far, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I were really high in the power rankings in Carolina, so I like them.
No, you didn't. You went lower than me.
Oh, wow. So you love
them. No, you went higher than me, excuse me.
Yeah, I went really high on them. Yeah. You know, there's a team that's beaten the Seahawks and the Cardinals on the road and was competitive against some decent teams like the Giants and the Lions. So the Rams are, like, interminably boring, and for whatever reason, Gurley, who has not had a 100-yard game or even a 90-yard game this year, like, everyone thought he would have a superstar turn, including myself, who I predicted in the preseason that he'd become, like, one of the big stars of the league this year, and it definitely has not happened.
Yeah.
But they're unwatchable. They're so boring, the Rams.
Yeah, that's true. To a nicer group of people.
Yeah, the Panthers are going to win. You know, I want them to go 6-10 and retain Jeff Fisher because there's a lot of comedy in that.
All right, so we have not yet had a disagreement, I don't think. Is that correct? Yeah. All right, next on our list we have at cumulative 26, I suppose, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have them at 28. You have them up at 24. the, you know, they lose a lot of games that come down to the wire that can happen to any play. Obviously, the Raiders game was an example last
week. They're the poor man's Chargers, basically.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll allow it.
They do play the Chargers in December.
And they play each other. Yeah, they do play each other.
We should go to that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that game will be decided with some probably a missed
But they've also been destroyed twice this year, so the Chargers don't get destroyed. The Bucs do. That's why
they're All right, so they're hosting Atlanta this week.
Also, Tampa Bay is like the poor man San Diego, you could argue, as a city. It's like the exact opposite spot on the map.
Yeah, it's worse than San Diego. Yeah, fine. Oh,
every city's worse than San Diego. That's number one.
Well, no, San Diego's overrated. It's quite boring. I've been there twice in the last 2 years.
The zoo isn't boring.
The weather's nice. Zoo's
great.
Zoos are very overrated also.
No, they have like there's the zoo and then there's the thing like that's not the zoo.
I was just at the zoo a few months ago.
Yeah, and you're not okay. That's a hot
take. The zoo is one of like once you have kids,
what are your top 5 zoos?
I'm just saying I'm down on zoos in general.
Really?
Yeah.
Do your kids like zoos?
So I'm saying I enjoy seeing it through the eyes of my kids.
Of course.
But I will say I like the Jerusalem Zoo actually.
The biblical zoo?
Yeah,
it's a good thing. I think Robert Kraft gave a lot of the money. You're okay.
Yeah, they take everybody. I think it's called Tisch, isn't it?
Maybe, yes. That's the Giants, not the Patriots.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying the zoo is named after the Tisch family, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same Tisch family. All right. So in week one, of course, Tampa went into Atlanta and won. And people like you and Bill Simmons, who had picked the Bucs to make the playoffs in the preseason, and apparently me as well, were very excited about that. And since then, it's been mostly downhill for Tampa Bay, whereas Atlanta obviously has reversed how their season has gone. So can Atlanta get revenge on the road again?
These NFC South games always bother me.
It's impossible to pick. All four teams can do anything any week.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay won in Carolina this year, you know?
Yeah, and they won in Atlanta. And as I said, you know, I think 9-7 wins this division, and Tampa Bay, because they have those two road playoff wins, are in the driver's seat. If Tampa Bay wins this game, they're in a tremendous position, I think. You know, they'll be tied with Atlanta. They'll be half a game back of Atlanta, but they will have swept them.
What about Atlanta losing at home, like their divisional games, losing at home to Tampa, but winning by double digits in New Orleans and by 15 against Carolina?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. So what's your pick here, Atlanta at Tampa?
If we throw out week one results, then Atlanta's like a top 5 team in the league.
No, because their defense is still bottom 5.
Yeah, but their offense is unstoppable.
Yeah, but their defense can't stop anybody. So they're not that much of in the New Orleans.
No, but they have Julio Jones.
Yeah, he did nothing last week.
Okay, he was hurt.
Well, all right. Atlanta at Tampa, what's your pick?
I think I picked Tampa to cover. What's the spread?
The spread is 3.5.
Yeah, so I took the points, so I was so 50-50 on it. But without the spread, I'll pick Atlanta. But it's like a 51-49 thing.
Yeah, this spread is way too high. I don't understand it. I picked. I thought Atlanta would be favored by 1. You said 1.5, so you beat me on that one. By the way, it was a rare victory for you. I beat you this week 10-4, which is 9 weeks in a row now that I beat. Oh no, 7 weeks in a row because you've taken 2 weeks off this year. Mm. But yeah, so I agree with you on that. I think it's really a toss up. It should not be more than a 3-point spread. So I will definitely take the points. But I think gun to my head, I'll take Atlanta.
Okay.
So let's see if we can both middle on that one and be double winners in this hypothetical bet of ours. All right, next on our list, cumulatively, the Indianapolis Colts. I have the Colts at 24, but you have them down at 26. So that's a nice average of 25. You know, the Colts obviously did not look good against Kansas City at all for idiots like me who thought that they could cover. Andrew Luck, again, he's still actually been really good this year. But, you know, this is a 2-53, as you like to say, just an abominable team.
Yeah.
And, you know, this week they are – wait, what are they doing this week?
In Green Bay.
Oh, in Green Bay, yeah. So that's – yeah, so I see – because I see they lost to my 8th team in my power rankings last week, which was Kansas City, and now they get to play the 8th ranked team in my power rankings again, which is the Packers. That's a little spoiler alert. Yeah, spoiler alert. So, yeah, they're in Green Bay. They're going to get destroyed. We don't need to discuss that game too much.
I think they'll be able to move the ball in Green Bay, but yeah, they're going to lose.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to lose, yeah. Okay. All right, next on our list, boy, I'm surprised that we haven't got to Miami yet. Baltimore. Baltimore at 24. I have them up at 22. You have them down at 25. I think, you know, probably you're a little bit impacted by what you saw when your Jets beat them. You know, whatever. They're a mediocre team. This is a must win for them. Well, first of all, is Roethlisberger playing this game? We don't know yet. They're hosting Pittsburgh.
No, he's not playing, I don't think.
Definitely not playing. You don't think there's any chance he shows up?
I don't think there's any reason, because I don't even think they need him to win.
Baltimore coming off a bye. Can't beat Landry Jones.
Baltimore has is the number 32 offense in the league, or 31. They're awful.
Yeah.
We played Baltimore.
I told you, just 2 weeks ago, Pro Football Focus had them number one in their power rankings.
Okay, let me tell you something. If you knew nothing about the NFL but just watched games, as a Jet fan, having beaten Baltimore and Cleveland, there was no difference between the two of them. Except Flacco is less accurate than Josh McCown.
Yeah, Cleveland's offense actually looked better. I agree with you.
Again, the Ravens' defense can't tackle anybody right now. The Ravens were missing Dumervil and Suggs that game.
Well, they've been missing them for most of the season.
Yes.
So.
Flacco is so inaccurate. He kills so many drives by missing a wide-open guy on, like, second and six. And then, you know, third and long, they don't convert. They can't tackle on defense. They have no skill position players. I think I said all of this last week. They suck. Like, they're really bad, the Ravens.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think they're particularly good either. I don't understand
the Ravens are, I think, like, other than maybe the Patriots now, it's like certain teams, it's weird when they're bad, and we're sort of not accustomed to it. So maybe
Pittsburgh's like that.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh has been bad a couple times in the last.
Well, Baltimore was 4-12 last year. John Harbaugh's still pretty high in our coaching rankings, I think.
Oh, when are we doing coaching rankings? Is that next week?
Sure, we can do that next. We can do coaches, we can do quarterbacks, whatever order.
He's not going to get fired if they go 5-11, is he? 6-10.
Well, all right. So they're playing at home against Pittsburgh without Ben Roethlisberger. You say I'm going to say that Baltimore is going to win this game.
No, they're not winning.
All right. It's interesting. You and I both thought Pittsburgh would be favored in this game.
Yeah.
It turns out that the Ravens are favored by one, or excuse me, by 2.5, actually. Traditionally, the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game was always a 3-point spread for the home team. But for that to happen this year, now, I guess that's because Landry Jones is playing. To be honest, when I made the spread, I thought that Roethlisberger would be playing.
Yeah.
I still think there's a chance he could play. We don't know. But I'm going to pick Baltimore to win, assuming that Big Ben is not playing.
Okay. I'm picking the Steelers either way.
All right, good. We finally have a disagreement. So that's good. All right, next on our list at number 23, we both have them at 23 exactly, a tie, the Tennessee Titans. They might be the best team in this crap division. That's like the nicest.
They could win the division. I'll give you a hot take. Their defense is very good.
And Marcus Mariota, by the way, after a slow start to the season, he's looked pretty good.
Mariota's playing well. Like we've talked about the last couple weeks.
DeMarco Murray, of course, has been great.
Yeah, Murray's basically like one of the MVPs of the league right now.
Yeah.
He's the all-pro running back as of right now. You know, you look at how many points they've allowed this season, and you take out the three garbage touchdowns against the Jaguars. And this is like an elite defense. Like, they've allowed 183 points in 8 games.
Does that mean that we were wrong about Mike Mularkey?
No, Mike Mularkey sucks.
All right, just wanted to check. All right, they're going to go into San Diego this week. San Diego, I love. You don't love them as much. I'm going to take the Chargers for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's it, 6.5, this spread? It was a little too high, I think.
This spread was – no, you guessed that it would be at 6. It's 5.
Okay, that's not bad. The Chargers will probably win, but I am curious to see if they could slow down Rivers a little bit, the Titans.
Yeah, well, he was slowed down last week by Denver.
I mean, someone's got to win this division. It's insane. Like, the AFC West – the Chiefs should be allowed to represent the AFC South this year, I think.
It's so funny that the entire AFC West is so much better than the entire AFC South.
Because I think we know the 6 best teams in the AFC. Just one. None of them are in the AFC South. Like, the three West teams are clearly top 5 teams in the AFC. Obviously, no, the Patriots.
I'd say the 4 West teams.
Yeah, Patriots and Steelers. How about if we have the Chargers and Bills play like a play-in game for that?
Oh, no, they're in Cincinnati also in that conversation.
Cincinnati's not good. They're really not good.
Well, they're my Super Bowl pick from the preseason, but
I liked them before the season. They're not good.
Yeah, they're not doing as bad as your preseason pick last year for the AFC, which was the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. But that pick is not looking too good for me just yet. That's certainly the case. All right, next on our list, we have the Miami Dolphins at 22. I have the Miami Dolphins down to 26. I am not impressed with them at all. But you have them all the way up at 19.
Yeah, every team here is equally garbage.
You know, look, they looked good the last couple weeks, obviously. Hard to understand exactly, that game against Pittsburgh. And they've kept it going now. Ryan Tannehill trying to, you know, turn around the season and maybe keep his job. They're hosting the Jets. We already said that we both predicted they're going to win. You know, coming off a bye, they got to scout that Jets-Cleveland game.
I mean, the thing is, Tannehill is so inconsistent that they could do things like lose to Tennessee at home by double digits and should have lost to the Browns at home, you know? And then they could do things like, you know, really put up points on the Bills and the Steelers and look like a competent team.
Yeah. I mean,
buying the Gyres is one of these 2 week things.
No team in that division, other than the Patriots, is going to get to 10 wins. So no team in that division is making the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really bad loss for the Bills last week for their playoff hopes. But, I mean, there's a slight chance the Bills could get to 10-6. But, actually, it's not looking great. 6-2 without the Patriots the rest of the way is not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's not going to happen.
Okay.
All right, okay. Next on our list, I have him at 21. You have him at 22. Cumulatively, they're at 21. The Houston Texans. This is the highest of any team we have in that division, which says all you need to know.
I said the Rams are unwatchable, but this is the most boring team in the NFL. Like, they're going to, you know, ESPN pays like $8 billion for the one playoff game, and they're going to get like Texans Chiefs again, you know, the 4-5 game.
The 4-5 is always terrible in the AFC.
It's going to do like, it's going to do worse than like the funny car racing on ESPN2 at like 3 in the morning that game. Like, the burnout is like, you know, extending to the regular season. Wait till you see that playoff rating from, you know, 3 million people watching the Texans Chiefs. The Texans are beyond unwatchable. Osweiler is an abomination to the profession. The Texans have 137 points right now, and they haven't had a bye yet. That's 8 games.
Yeah. By the way, the bye teams this week, other than New England, it's teams that nobody really cares to watch.
Well, Bears have
Washington,
a bye, right?
Chicago, Houston. Yeah, we should have some exciting games this week because we have a lot of teams that we don't really care about on bye. I mean, you like Atlanta more than I do. I like Cincinnati a bit more than you do. All right, so Houston this week on a bye. We don't need to discuss them anymore.
Yeah, they're 5-0 at home, and they're 0-3 on the road. I think the shoe is dropping. They're not making the playoffs.
Well, I mean, but that division, you need 8 wins will do it.
Right. I mean, you could say, well, they're 5-3, and they haven't played the Jaguars yet.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, we will say that the 5 seed is going to be favored over the 4 seed.
I'd say there's 100. If like Indianapolis got in, like there may be, you know, and they were playing well, that's the only possibility. But
you know what we can say with even more confidence? That will be the early Saturday game.
Well, I mean, I just did a whole spiel on that, but yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're listening to me.
Well, I'm trying to take after you and not listen when the other ones talk.
Okay, that's I do appreciate that.
All right, number 20, we have the New Orleans Saints. I have them at number 19. You have them at number 21. I mean, we already said they're going to go into San Francisco and win this week. They, with a big win against Seattle last week. It's weird because on the one hand, their defense is terrible, but their defense is so much better than last year that they can stay in games because their offense is good. They're similar to Atlanta.
They are slightly worse Atlanta or a much better Indianapolis, if you want to put it that way. If you wanted to play Saints Devil's Advocate, they lost like an epic, like Hail Mary type game to the Raiders. They lost by 3 at the Giants. They lost by 6 in Kansas City, and they lost to the Falcons.
Yeah.
But their wins are really good. They won in San Diego, and they've beaten Seattle and Carolina. Like, they haven't played a bad team yet. The worst team they've played all season are the Chargers.
Yeah, and I think the Chargers are a really good team.
Yeah, so. The Chargers are a tough team. I mean, maybe someone hates the Giants or, you know, thinks the Panthers are going 6-10. But the schedule opens up. They haven't played Tampa yet. You know, they get the Rams and the Niners soon. It's not totally easy. They have to play the Broncos. They have to go to Carolina and Arizona. But
the truth is, I can see New Orleans winning 4 games. I can see them winning 9 games.
Do you have 9 games and a slight shot at the 6th seed or no?
Yeah, I think 9 games is going to win that division. So it'd be a shot at the 4th seed, really.
Wow.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to win.
You don't think Atlantic is definitely getting to 9? I think Atlanta's definitely getting to 9.
If Atlanta beats Tampa this week, which I did pick,
I remember it. Atlanta would have to lose at home to New Orleans. Otherwise, they're going to have that sweep. And there's no way New Orleans is passing them at that point.
Yeah. Well, it depends. But Tampa could sweep Atlanta this week also. So,
let me tell you something. New Orleans is not making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Not talking about it. It's absurd.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, next on our list at number 19, the New York Giants. You overrate the Giants all the time.
I do, but I mean, I have them at 16, but...
Yeah. I have them down at 20. I mean, if the Giants and Saints played on a neutral field right now, I would pick the Saints every single time.
Yeah, I probably would. You're probably right. I mean, you have to give them some credit for being the only team to beat Dallas, and they won in Dallas.
Yeah, week one, Dak
Prescott's first career game, sure.
Yeah.
And then you look at the results, and it's like their losses are Washington, that was a coin toss game, and Minnesota Green Bay, two good teams, or Minnesota used to be a good team.
Put up or shut up, because I said that Philadelphia was a garbage team on the road, and then Philadelphia went into Dallas and very almost won Sunday night. Very almost. That's some good verbiage by me over there. So if they can beat the Eagles at home this week, I think the Giants maybe prove that they're a little better than we thought.
Well, obviously, if they beat the Eagles at home, they're like a legitimate playoff contender.
All right, so what's your pick on that game?
The Eagles, I think, are going to win. That Eagles defense is very scary right now. The Giants really just need one of the next two going into Cleveland, Chicago the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where they could, you know, if they could get to 7-4, they'd be in really good shape to make the playoffs.
I think I overrate the coming off a bye thing. You know, I think Andy Reid and I think Mike Holmgren are the only
coaches. We need data. I'm sure there's tons of data, but I haven't seen other than Reid.
Yeah. I think Mike Holmgren was also good at that. He was Andy Reid's mentor.
He had a week to go to like Arby's and then a week to game plan.
Who, Holmgren or Reid?
Both of them.
Reid is going to more than one.
What do you think I love, my favorite podcast is Doughboys, a chain restaurant podcast. Of course, we keep culture, so we don't go to 98% of chain restaurants other than like Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks.
Yeah, I tweeted that at Mike Pesca today, actually.
Oh, I didn't see because I don't follow him. But talk
about how Orthodox Jews don't celebrate Halloween and they don't go to McDonald's.
Well, but there are, you know, there used to be a lot more. There aren't a lot of chains in Israel anymore. But if you go to Israel, there used to be like KFC and McDonald's and Burger King. Yeah. They're not around much anymore. I don't think Burger King's not Border Ranch, I think, in the whole country.
So my parents live in Israel 6 months a year. And last night, two little girls knocked on my parents' door.
Really?
And my parents are like, what is going on here?
Oh, dad's like an ambassador in Norway probably or something.
So my dad thought, are they trick-or-treaters? So my head opens the door, and they were there raising money for somebody with cancer.
Oh, that's funny. Because it's not impossible to get trick-or-treaters. There's like, you know, who works for the New York Times or CNN. Like, there are kids there who, you know, or ambassadors.
Oh, I've never seen a trick-or-treater in Israel. Because there's Purim, which is the same holiday in the spring.
So. Yeah, but there's people who are there who aren't
I
Jewish.
I understand. Yeah, but do they celebrate Halloween when they're there?
Oh, definitely. It's just probably just amongst, like, the 20 of themselves. Anyway. Yeah. It's probably sad day.
Is Halloween celebrated? I really don't know. Is Halloween celebrated in other parts of the world outside America?
That's a good question. You don't see like people in like Sweden dressing up and pictures of them on Twitter.
Or what about like Japan?
Yeah, that's a good question. Write in if you know. I'm sure someone knows.
We could Google
literally
it,
Google that right now, but I'd rather write in.
Yeah. We'll be, like, somebody tweeted us. Let us know.
Wait, so all right. So what are your top three chain restaurants that if they were all kosher for a day, you'd go to?
I mean, do you count like Chipotle as a chain?
Yeah, Chipotle is definitely a chain.
Okay, so
it's
say
a massive Chipotle. Chain. So yes, Chipotle is a chain.
Okay, but you don't just mean like cheapy fast food. All right, so
no, I don't mean like the top five. Yeah, I mean like anything that has at least 50 restaurants.
All right, well, I'll say Chipotle will be on there for sure then.
Okay, even with the health scare and stuff.
Yeah, I would say not because of the food per se, but because, you know, I think I have been there many times and it's a good place to watch a game. I'll put Buffalo Wild Wings on the list.
Okay, yeah, sure. I mean,
although, did you see that fried chicken head?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Who was it? Some NFL player was eating his fried chicken from Buffalo Wild Wings and he tweeted out a picture, or Instagrammed out a picture. It was an entire head of a chicken that had been fried. It was really gross.
Okay.
So yeah, be careful when you're eating your chicken at Buffalo, at B-dubs. All right, and so those are two, and I'm supposed to give you a third?
Yeah, third.
When I was a kid, I used to say Subway because I sort of liked Subway.
I mean, there were many kosher Subways. They all went out of business because they suck, but...
Yeah. In terms of the actual chains that existed in Jerusalem, I always liked Nathan's, although I don't think there's 50 Nathan's.
That's like the worst... You're an idiot. That's a terrible... What about In-N-Out Burger? That's not, you know, In-N-Out Burger?
Oh, In-N-Out... Oh, yeah. See, but the thing is, I'm not holding in these names because I never go to them, so I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, like In-N-Out, Five Guys, like all those like fancy burger places, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then again, but are we missing that much? Because there's like good, like in Israel, especially, there's good burger chains.
Mm-hmm.
Like Burgers Bar is a really, really, I mean, by kosher standards anyways, is a really good, enjoyable burger.
Yeah, but maybe the other one's much better. We just don't know.
How would it be that much better? Because you stick a piece of cheese on it?
Yeah, well, the cheese is, you know, I don't know. There's good stuff. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's the bread. Shake Shack.
Yeah, so you know this more because you're listening to Doughboys, so you know all the chains really well.
Well, I also love food. You don't love food.
I like food.
you're like tolerant of food.
No, I disagree. All right, well, what's your top three?
I'd say In-N-Out.
Yeah.
I'd say KFC, but I've had KFC so many times here.
Oh, KFC is so gross.
Oh, no. I'm going to say Wendy's. I feel like people love Wendy's. People really like Wendy's.
White Castle, just because that movie?
No. Doughboys hasn't actually done White Castle.
See, the problem with burgers, even if it's a really good
burger. And then I would do one of, you know what I would do also? I would do one of those, like, because there's no kosher equivalent to it. One of the, the medium casual. I don't know what the industry term is, but like the Applebee's
but the Applebee's is a garbage restaurant. But there's kosher restaurants like that with a menu.
Olive Garden. What about the Olive Garden? Although I hate olives, so I sort of ideologically oppose that name. Olives are my least favorite food.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about what's that rate? That P.F. Chang's is like a little higher class than that. It is an extraordinarily successful chain. I mean, they like that company makes a shitload of money.
Yeah, Steak and Shake.
Yes, Shake Shack, In-N-Out, all these places I'm sure are really good.
Yeah, Five Guys. But, any of those places I'm up for.
Yeah.
Above the Wild Wings isn't a terrible answer, but.
Yeah, but again, it wasn't for the food because I don't like wings anyways.
Well, what are you going to do there? And Chipotle was a good answer. Maybe Chipotle would be my third.
Yeah,
probably. Write us in if you're one of our Orthodox listeners, write us in with your third. But don't just email Chester. CC me, you bastards.
When I asked my now wife out for the first time, she was in a Chipotle.
Where were you?
I was at home. I called
she had the restraining order still. So
yeah, she was at Chipotle with all the other interns in our internship, and I called her.
She didn't keep kosher at that point.
Well, she did. She less strictly than she does now, but she wasn't getting. She wasn't eating at Chipotle.
Right.
I mean, maybe she was getting a salad or something. I don't know.
Actually, even if you're not Orthodox, you could give us your top three fast food chains.
Yeah, but she was more social. In fact, it'd be much more relevant.
Yeah, right. You would actually have a.
Exactly. But she was more social than me. And so I was sitting at home. She was with all the other interns. And I called and asked her if she wanted to go to a movie. And she put the phone down and said, does anybody want to go to a movie with me and Alex? And then everybody did the, ooh.
Well, but also, luckily, nobody wanted to go to a movie with you. So
yeah, exactly. Unluckily for her. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I know. I'm sure she likes your kids. Like, she could just leave you now.
Yeah, at a certain point, we were doing NFL Power Rankings.
Let's keep going. We're doing
all right, number 18. Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals. So big disagreement here.
Would it be insane if we turn this into a two-part podcast? Then next week we do like the top 16, but they'd have like no one can move in.
Nobody can move.
Nobody can move into the top 16. No, we can move from like 8 to 14, but not into.
No, but you got
to
stay within your group. Yeah. All right. So Cincinnati, you have down at 20.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe I have them up at 14.
Okay, I just talked myself into the Bengals, looking at their schedule and stuff. Because the week one we threw out, even though they were abominable against the Jets. Listen to their losses. Dallas, New England, Denver, and Pittsburgh. Those are like the four best teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Those
they're are literally, spoiler alert, my top four.
Yeah, and they should not have beaten, and they should not have lost to Washington, obviously, missed kick. So
I mean, Washington has 10 reasons to say that they shouldn't have lost to Cincinnati also. But
yeah, or tied, yeah. I like how we think of it as a loss for both teams.
It's like ties.
Ties. Everybody else likes to hate on ties. First of all, I root for ties every single time. First of all, they're so great for the standings because they lessen the likelihood.
I feel
of
like
ties
your tombstone should be "I root for ties every single time."
Yeah, I do. In my NFL against the spread pick'em league, it annoyed me for years that we had like a 4-tier tiebreaker system, so that there could never be a tie in a week, and the consequences of people were winning
always,
and losing.
It's true. When I run a pool, people are always like, what's the tiebreaker? And I'll tell them. And they're like, what's the third and fourth? I'm like, at a certain point, it's okay to tie. Like, you could split. Who cares? You split $1,000 with somebody. Why does one person have to win, you know, all the money? It doesn't make
sense. So we don't have a tiebreaker in our 32 fans pick 'em pool because I made the rules. And I looked. Only 5 people in the league have no ties so far, and I'm one of them. So I'm the fan of ties.
I have 3 ties right now.
Yeah. And that part of the reason I have the second worst defense in that league. I've given up. My opponents have scored 74 points through 8 weeks, which, to give you an idea, the most points scored by anybody in the league is 74. So I've basically played the best team in the league every single week.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And Ari Gold, who's one of the people who I am me today to complain about, or not to complain, but to comment about the league, he's the only one with the worst defense in me. He's allowed 76 points. So he's 1-4 with 3 ties. He's tied for a playoff spot because we made the unique rule that the last 2 playoff spots go to the best 2 teams.
Yeah. All right. Come on. Let's. No one cares.
Enough conversation there. All right, number 17, the Detroit Lions. You have them all the way up at 14. I have them down at 18. You know, an ugly loss to Houston last week shows what they are. They're about a 500 team. Stafford is good, except when he plays a good defense. So
they're the rich man's Titans because their defense is also like pretty solid. They did lose at home to the Titans in an ugly game, 16-15.
Yeah, that was a horrible game. So they're going to the Vikings this week. You know, you had the Vikings favored by 7.5. That was obviously before the abomination the Vikings put on last night. Yes. I'm going to pick Detroit to cover, although it depends how, you know, how far down that number has come.
I got some big news for you. I'm picking Detroit to win. I picked Detroit to win.
Oh, Detroit to win. Well, that's not big news. You picked against the Vikings the entire season, except for last week. So,
except when I survived them and lost $2,000.
That's a great point. Yeah, you picked the Vikings to lose. No, you picked them to lose. You picked them to beat the Eagles. So you are literally 0-7 on picking the Vikings games this year. You picked them to lose 5 weeks in a row, and they won. And then you picked them to win 2 weeks in a row, and they lost.
Yeah.
So it's good for me as a Vikings fan that you're picking the Lions.
Yeah, it has a lot of relevance towards what actually is going to happen.
Yeah, that's how it works. All right, tied with Detroit at number 16, actually, I guess it is, not 17, is Washington.
Also, you know, I have a stupid gripe here. They play the Vikings, and then, like, they have a bye, and then 2 weeks later they play them in the Thanksgiving game. And to me, you know, the Thanksgiving games are sacred. You can't have a rerun on Thanksgiving. It would be like serving leftover turkey at your Thanksgiving.
But Dallas and or Detroit almost always plays a divisional opponent on Thanksgiving. The Lions are always playing into the Packers or the Vikings.
Yeah, but it should be the first game then, and then play the second game week 17.
All right, sorry that it's a rerun. Anyways, I'm sure the Lions-Vikings game is the noon game. It's the first game, right?
Apropos of nothing, Matthew Stafford has ended in even numbers, in a 0, 5 of his 8 games so far. Round number. 340, 260, 180, 270, 240.
That's exactly what people want to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you do 10 yards per point in fantasy for quarterbacks, then you have no decimals for
it's a war crime to play in leagues that don't have decimal scoring.
Oh, that's completely idiotic, yeah. Yeah, you have a guy with like 29 passing running yards, 29 receiving yards, and he gets 4 points instead of 5.8.
Yeah.
Idiotic. All right. So Washington we have tied with Detroit. Which I have Washington at 17, Detroit at 18. You have Washington up at 15 and Detroit at 14. So we agree that Detroit and Washington are basically interchangeable teams right in the middle of that NFC. You know, they're also obviously on the bye coming back from London because that's what 99% of teams choose to do. I think we already discussed that really entertaining but frustrating game they had against the Bengals.
To me, first of all, I love, like, after every tie, like the famous Donovan McNabb quote, I didn't know that there were ties in the NFL.
Yeah,
but I love that Jay Gruden, the coach, didn't know that they were ties.
Yeah, exactly.
That's next level stuff.
So one of the reasons I was saying I love ties is because I love the fact that it sort of solves the tiebreaker issue. The other thing it does is...
No, but if you look at the standings, it like always takes you an extra second. Like, wait, are they a half game back? Are they a game and a half back?
Exactly. It's confusing. But so Washington...
And when they haven't played the same amount of games, it's very confusing.
Yeah, well, so Washington is 4-3-1 right now, right? Yeah, so are they above or below the Giants in the standings who are just 4-3?
Right.
As an example, yeah. I think the Giants are higher because the Giants have a better winning percentage.
Yeah, 4-3 is better than 4-3-1.
Yeah. Anyways, but Washington, they have to go 9-6-1 minimum and probably 10-5-1, which is why...
No, 9-6-1 will probably... they're in last place now. They're in trouble.
No, the Vikings and Green Bay are both going to end up with 10 wins.
Let's do the Redskins rest of the season.
Okay.
Because they have a bye this week.
Okay.
Hosting Minnesota, I feel like that's a loss. I think the Vikings will figure something out on their line by that.
Yeah, right. I can't make any predictions for the Vikings right now. I'll say that's a 50-50.
So that's 5-3-1. And then...
No, that's 4-4-1.
Oh, a loss. Fine. And then hosting Green Bay, that's another loss.
Okay.
No, you know what? It's not even worth doing because then they have Dallas, at Philadelphia. It's not happening.
They're done. All right. Sorry, Washington. Your season's done. All right. We have at number 15, we have the San Diego Superchargers. So this is a team that we have a big disagreement on. You have San Diego all the way down at 18. I have them at 11. Why do you hate San Diego?
I don't. I really like San Diego. I love watching them.
They're the best 3-5 team by far.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you to the top 10 in the NFL.
But we're not talking about who's going to make the playoffs. We're saying who's good, who can compete on a week-to-week basis.
What does competing do? They lost at home to the Saints, who are bad. They lost to the Colts, who are bad. What does competing mean?
They lost those both in like insane ways, where they were, you know, the better team for 59 minutes.
Uh-huh. Well, things are about to, you know, turn up charges for them because... They're going to beat the Titans. They're probably going to beat the Dolphins. they're gonna beat the Texans. They're gonna beat the Bucks. Yep. I mean, this schedule's bananas the rest of the way. They have two hard games at Carolina and hosting Kansas City, who maybe Kansas City will be locked in that five
they're
seed.
They're gonna be last place in their division at 9-7. It's crazy. The worst team in the AFC West is gonna be better than the best team in the AFC South.
Yeah, I mean 9-7 is tough. That you know you have to go 6-2. But yeah, why not? Go 6-2. I mean, that Miami game is losable, but I agree.
The crazy thing is, if they end up 9-7, they'll be a 9-7 who should have went 11-5. You know, they'll be a 9-7 who's like 6th in DVOA or something like that.
Yeah, okay. The Chargers once missed the playoffs with Schottenheimer at 9, or with Norv, excuse me, at 9-7 when they had the most yards in the league.
Yeah. And the best defense, yeah.
And they allowed the fewest yards.
Yeah, it was
they had like crazy. A 1,400-yard differential.
Yeah.
That's why, by the way, these old, like, the beat writers, if you ever notice, when they say, like, a team is the number 3 defense in the league or number 6 offense,
yeah, they're just always yards. Well, that's what we did until 2 years ago when DVOA became, like, a little more popular. That's what
I mean, points. Like, I don't know. We don't need to get super sabermetric.
It's always been yards over points scoring up.
Why? Sort of that anti, is so
anti-stat
stupid.
Anti-stat heads like my dad would say, I don't care about yards, I care about points. Because yards had a much better predictive value than points. Because points can be scored by your defense or your offense or your special teams.
No way. Because there's no chance in 100 seasons of the NFL where you could have a team score the most points, allow the least, and miss the playoffs. It would never happen in the history of the league. If you simulated a million seasons, it wouldn't happen once.
Well, anyway. Not sure if I agree with you there. All right. Number 13, we have a tie between Carolina and Buffalo. Two very different teams. So yeah, we're both slurping it all on Carolina. One big win after their
We love Carolina. Yeah,
so you have Carolina at 12. I thought I had them high at 15, but you have them all the way up at 12.
I mean, again, they have a lot of winnable games. The problem is that they could maybe lose one more time the rest of the way.
Yeah, Cam Newton's outfits, by the way, incredible, right?
I mean, the problem with doing the podcast like Tuesday night, Wednesday, is I feel like stuff like that has been beaten ad nauseum.
So here was my idea for a Halloween costume. If you were in like a fraternity or like some kind of group of guys.
Yeah.
Is you get like 9 guys to dress up as Cam Newton's post-game outfit for every single game this season.
But are you wearing a Newton jersey? Because I don't like the costume.
No. You're wearing the exact outfit that he wore after all 9 games.
But no one will know who you are. No one.
You look like a bunch of dapper clowns. Well, they would because, you know, you show people the pictures or whatever.
Okay. One of my big Halloween pet peeves is people who have costumes they have to explain. Like, if you, there should be a federal crime for anybody who, like, dresses up as, like, an inside joke for, like, a dumb podcast or, like, a TV show that has under 400,000 viewers, you know? If you're dressing up as, like, the people from, like,
Okay, so you don't like my Cam Newton idea. Fine, got it.
Like, this guy's from Bar Rescue. Oh, he's not John Taffer. He's, like, one of the guys who comes sometimes with John Taffer.
But John Taffer would be acceptable as a costume?
John Taffer would be fine, but I don't know how you dress up like him. If you look exactly like John Taffer, that's totally fine.
There's certain costumes that you can really only do with the costume if you already look like the guy.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, except for you, who just wears blackface in that scenario.
What kind of drive-by slander was that?
All right, what's the next team?
All right, wait, so Carolina this week, have we made a prediction? Yeah, we said they're going into the Rams, and we both said they're going to win.
Yeah, obviously, they're going to win. All right. Okay, this was going to be, actually, this was going to be my Survivor game initially.
All right, then Buffalo. Wait, you're picking Carolina on the road against the Rams? A 2-5 team on the road is your Survivor pick this week.
That's why I'm a Survivor.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, so we also have Buffalo tied with them. I have Buffalo at 16. You have Buffalo all the way at 12. So you still like
Buffalo. This is a very hard team to really get a read on.
Well, they looked like the worst team in the league when they started 0-2. Then they won 4 in a row. Now they've lost 2 in a row again.
Yeah, I mean, so you throw out the Jacoby Brissett game, and they're really 3-4, right?
Yeah, they got destroyed by New England. Now they're going to Seattle. They're going to
the Cardinals game is the Cardinals win to me is a good win. They win 15 points. I think the Cardinals are pretty decent. It's a weird game because, I mean, Tyrod Taylor doesn't run as much as people think, and he's had games this year with 111 passing yards, 119 passing yards, 124 passing yards, 179, 183.
How's that working for your fantasy team?
He's actually pretty good in fantasy because, like, he gets
runs.
2 touchdowns and he, like, he's not bad in fantasy, but he's actually, like, he's better in real life than he is in fantasy.
No, the other way around, I think.
I don't know. Who knows? But this team is schizophrenic. But here's my hot take. I think they're going to go into Seattle and win. I'm not betting on the bad offensive line teams anymore until they fix them. Seattle and Minnesota, show me.
Well, it's not fixable. What are you going to do? Like, the trade deadline passed today.
Well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to miss the playoffs, and that's it. Or you're going to lose in the first round.
So Seattle and Minnesota are both going to miss the playoffs. You want to make a bet on that one?
Well,
I'll give you 10-1 odds.
One of them is going to miss the playoffs, probably.
I'll make that bet.
No, well, at a certain point, Seattle can't miss the playoffs, but you guys
Seattle and Minnesota, one of them misses the playoffs. Let's make a bet.
Okay, $10. Put it on the board.
All right, that's our weekly bet.
And that's such a stupid bet by me, though.
Minnesota and or Seattle to miss the playoffs.
That's a really dumb bet. No, I can I take it back? Because there's just no way Seattle cannot win that division.
All right, fine. Take it back. I don't care. All right. So you're picking Buffalo to go into Seattle and win. I'm going to
take
Seattle.
How about this? Neither of them are going to win a playoff game. Let me take that.
Well, Seattle's going to get a bye probably. In fact, they both – well.
No, they're not.
All right. I'll make that bet. No
playoff
wins.
Can you get a bye if you're like 6-6-4? Because that's going to be the record at the end of the
No playoff wins.
By the way, if a team gets the two byes, I'm with you on the bye thing. Two byes is so confusing in the standings.
Two ties is equal to a win and a loss, so.
It's so confusing in the standings, though.
Yeah, it's exciting, though. But it's not going
to
happen.
I used to do...
It hasn't happened in 30 years.
I used to do, like, playoff possibilities for NBC.
Yeah.
And I would just, like, root so hard against ties. If there was a tie...
No,
I mean,
but ties are great for you because, again, it solves all the tiebreakers.
At the end of the year, it does. But in the beginning of the year, it's annoying. When teams haven't played the same
game. Oh, if for each game, you have to consider the possibility of a tie.
Yeah.
No, but again, Seattle and Cincinnati and Washington and Arizona, none of those teams are going to have any tiebreaker issues with anybody, except, of course, Cincinnati and Seattle and Arizona, who could be fighting for their divisional lead, which would be funny. Except, no, because Arizona's tie...
Okay, you've already proven it's very complicated. All right, let's keep going.
Okay. All right. So, okay, so no playoff wins for Minnesota or Seattle in this season. That's our bet. That's what you say. I say one of them gets a win.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of Arizona, number 12, the Arizona Cardinals.
This is too high, right? We're too high on
I think you're too low. You have Arizona down at 17. I have Arizona up at 10.
I mean, they lost to the Bills and the Rams and...
Okay, so the loss this week to Carolina, obviously, that was not great. The tie to Seattle, that's defensible. And then, you know, the week before that, they destroyed your Jets.
Schedule's not easy. The home games are easy. San Fran, Washington. Oh, they only have 3 home games left? Oh, this team's in big trouble, Chester.
All right, so you think I'm crazy to have Arizona as a top 10 team.
Let's do one more. Okay, 9. Let's 3-4-1. Let's do after the bye their schedule the rest of the way. Niners 4-4-1.
Okay.
They're going to win. At Minnesota and at Atlanta, I'm going to say they're going to split those, okay?
Okay.
5-5-1. Hosting okay. Washington and then at Miami.
Those are wins. 7-5-1.
Okay. Hosting the Saints.
8-5-1.
At Seattle.
8-6-1.
And then at LA. Wow. 9-6-1. Very possible.
Well, hold on. LA already beat them at home.
Oh, shut up. That's going to be Jared Goff.
They're going to be 8-6-1 in LA. For a game that they need to win to make the playoffs.
Jared Goff. They might lose that game, but it's going to be 3-0.
Well, they tied a game 6-6 already, so anything is possible. Carson Palmer, by the way, probably won't be healthy by that point.
Yeah.
All right, we take a little jump up in our rankings, and next we have Atlanta. I have Atlanta down at 12, and you have Atlanta at 11.
I thought you were going to yell at me for having Atlanta at 11, because I feel like if 10 other people did power rings, they'd all have Atlanta in their top 10.
Well, but I think you've been over. But again, Atlanta can't stop anybody, I don't think. So
you don't need to stop anybody when you score 48.
They won by 1 point against Green Bay, who's been a very underwhelming. I mean, Green Bay's offense has not looked good all year until they played, against the Falcons.
If they
so
win their, if
you keep
win
saying
their
the Falcons are definitely
going to
win this
games,
division.
If they win their division with 10 games, Matt Ryan is going to be the MVP. Unless Derek Carr wins his division, then he'll be the MVP.
No, Tom Brady's going to be the MVP for sure.
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Mark it down.
I mean, if he goes 12-0, I think he'll be the MVP. But if he goes 10-2, I don't think he'll be the MVP. And they're losing both times to the Jets, so that's 10-2 right there, baby.
All right, well, we'll have to wait.
No, I don't think so. Matt Ryan. He's my favorite for MVP. Ryan, Carr, Brady, 3-man race.
No, but no, it's Tom Brady. Atlanta's okay. So Atlanta's 5-3 right now.
By the way, what's insane is Brady missed 4 games, and like now he's super rested, and he probably could rest the last 2 or 3 games with the 1 seed if they keep winning.
Yeah, well,
like,
that's
he could get 2 rests in 1 season with no detriment to the stupid team.
Yeah,
I hate them so much. It's they literally ruined the NFL. Except they're the only interesting team in the whole league.
Yeah, But even, I mean, there's really no great team. I mean, they have a lot of holes also.
No, they don't. They're a great team. I
mean, well, okay, let me put it this. If you took the
they
defense.
They have no holes. They have no holes.
If you took the defense.
Yeah, I mean, other than the fact that they just, like, traded the third best defender for no reason.
Yeah. I mean, the justification is, oh, well, they'd get a compensation pick anyways. Yeah, exactly. So why give up 8 games of the guy
when
you're going to get a draft pick anyways in the offseason?
I mean, Belichick probably didn't like him, but makes no sense.
Lombardi will trust him some more.
Like, Deion Lewis was on pace to break the NFL record for broken tackles in the season.
Yeah.
And he's and I mean, he probably won't be healthy until much later in the season, even if he comes back after the bye. But, like, playoff time, he's going to be an unstoppable.
So their offense will be even better, is what you're saying.
Oh, much better. He's 1,000 times better than James White.
Well, but we've seen 6 games of him, so let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Again, he broke, like, 400. It's not, it can't be.
I had him on my fantasy team last year.
It wasn't like there were open holes, and he was, you know, there was nothing fluky about it. He's amazing. I have him. I drafted him, you know, on all 6 of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, so did I, but I dropped him eventually. Because
I didn't drop him on any team because I had no
interest. I was holding on to Tony Romo. Who looks like that might be waste because
well, in a 2QB league, I got Romo in a few of those leagues too, but I did trade Deion Lewis for Jonathan Stewart this week in one of my leagues.
What? Who? What kind of idiot would do that trade?
Well, he couldn't. It was a Patriots fan. I gave him somebody else. Also, it was first of all, it was Michael Clark. I can't believe you called him an idiot. Said he emailed you. I also gave him Chris Hogan. It's a 20-team league. Chris Hogan is a number one receiver in a 20-team league. It's a 20.
Okay, in a 20-team league, John Stewart is an unquestionable number
couldn't
one.
Start. He wasn't starting for Clark's team. He was loaded at running back. He wanted a upside of Deion Lewis in the playoffs.
That's ridiculous. Wow.
Sorry, Michael.
If you're trading for two guys on your favorite
Michael
team.
Michael Clark is rooting for my fantasy team. We know he's a
no, if you're rooting for two guys, if you're trading for two guys on your favorite team in fantasy, then clearly you're not focused on what's best for your fantasy team.
Well, then my CJ Spiller and Quincy Enunwa deal there, where I gave up Antonio Brown, was really dumb.
Exactly. All right, we're into our top 10. A team we have a big disagreement on. Philly, you have the 4-3 Eagles all the way up at 6. I have them down to 13 still.
Yeah.
I'm starting to believe in the Eagles a little bit. You know, that win against the Vikings I thought was fluky, but they almost won in Dallas. So I think they're okay, right. But I have them at 13. Like, I still think that – I don't think that they're a better team than Atlanta, for example, who I have at 12.
Oh, they're definitely better than Atlanta. I would bet your mortgage on Philly beating Atlanta on a neutral field this week. Like, you're hypothetical. Well, that's why I – should we talk about your house problems?
My house problems? I just don't have a house.
You thought you were going to buy a house today.
Yeah. Well, we made an offer and
– Let's get the specific dollar amounts here. We're all friends on this podcast.
Okay. It was more than 0 and less than 20 million.
I was hoping you'd say like 1 million. I at least have a ballpark.
Ballpark. It's just a much bigger ballpark.
Yeah, it's very sad. So how about tweet at Chester if you have a good place for him to move to.
Yeah.
If you have a house. Is this a sign that maybe you should leave the New York metropolitan area?
So when you're looking for houses, Zillow is your friend. And I love the fact, and I tweeted about this a couple months when I discovered it. The White House is on Zillow and they value it at like $374 million.
That actually is pretty funny.
It's really funny. And then I was actually wondering, like, if it was actually for sale, what would its value be? Mm-hmm. And I think it's got to be like $12 billion or so.
No, well, you know, Daro, hold on. First of all, you're overrating how much people care about, like, this.
No, because the Russians would buy it. Like, I mean, they're already buying the future occupant of it potentially. Oh. But to actually own it and to fly
well, hold on. Over it. Let's say, like, we said, like, okay, you know, we want to build a new White House, and this will be like a museum or whatever. But instead of making it a museum, you could just buy it. So, like, it's the old White House, but the president doesn't live in there anymore.
But what kind of regulations or limitations are we putting on it? Can you do whatever you want?
Can you do whatever you want. You could knock it down. You could fly a Russian flag. You could have parties there.
But you're saying we're choosing a replacement White House, so we're devaluing this one.
Yeah, there's going to be it's going to be like the Astrodome when they build like a new Astrodome. But
so
we're not
culturally, it would be a big deal for like 150 years. But by the year like 2300, no one would remember White House War.
Oh, obviously not.
Yeah. Like all the movies where it's depicted, but like there won't be movies then. There'll be like some kind of 3D, like virtual, I don't even know what they'll be. So
yeah.
Yeah. All right, so maybe not $12 billion, but I think it would go in the billions.
No, I don't. I don't even think it $1 billion. Wow. It's a house. Who cares?
It's the most important house in the world.
Not really.
I should see if Zillow does that for other holy sites and significant sites. You know, like the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, or
Zillow outside U.S.
in Mecca?
Like how much would a pyramid cost in Egypt?
Well, I mean, the square footage on that is pretty big, so your real estate taxes are going to be high.
What about you moving to Florida? I feel like that's your ultimate.
My dead body.
I feel like that's your ultimate destination.
Literally, I would not allow my dead body to be there, which is actually true because with
if you
warmer,
die,
everything underground will be
Florida.
Floating there within a few years anyway.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Sure.
If hopefully nothing happens to you, but if you did die, do I have to like fly in for your funeral? Do I have to go to your funeral?
I mean, if we're being completely serious, I have good news for you because I'm going to be buried closer to your present house than mine. So.
Well, do I have to drive there? Because I'm kind of busy. I'll take a night off work for your funeral? You going to appreciate it? You're dead.
A night off work. Why am I getting buried at night?
In this country, you get buried when you fly in. I've been to midnight funerals here, babe.
Midnight, really?
Very scary. They are scary.
Yeah, my grandmother's funeral was like at 8 p.m.
Imagine if it was like Halloween, like a midnight funeral on Halloween.
Yeah, fortunately, there's no Halloween in Israel. Yeah, that would be awkward.
Yeah.
All right, okay, number 10 on my list, on our cumulative list. We're into the top 10. It's the Eagles. We already said that. Did we make a pick for their game this week? Yeah, at the Giants. You said they're going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, number 9, Kansas City. You have them at 10. I have Kansas City all the way up at 6. As usual, you hate Andy Reid. What has Kansas City done that hasn't impressed you the last 2 weeks?
No, I'm very impressed. I love Kansas City.
Okay, well, you have them down at number 10. I have them all the way up to 6.
To me, every team between 4 and 11 is totally even right now.
Okay. All right, I mean, they went into Oakland and destroyed Oakland, and yet you have Oakland way, way higher than you have Kansas City.
Well, I did this in 30 seconds before we started. But
So you put more effort into it than you. Okay, fine, that's fine. All right, so Kansas City this week.
They also got annihilated by Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they lost to Houston. Let's not put them in the Super Bowl yet.
Yeah, well, okay, but that was Houston before Houston lost J.J. Watt. They were.
I mean, Andy Reid is going to find a way to lose. Like, they're going to need to beat San Diego the last week of the year or something, and Andy Reid is going to, you know, punt on third down by 3 with a minute to go or something.
All right. Number 8, we have a tie at number 7 between the Vikings and Packers, two teams that, you know, you never really know week to week what you're going to get. As we said for the Vikings, I think there's a certain point in the season when there's just too many injuries. You know, they lost their starting quarterback, their starting running back, their second string running back, their starting left tackle, their starting right tackle, their starting right guard. All those guys except for the back running back are on IR. Their starting left guard now was out with a concussion last week, and who knows how long he'll be out. Their starting defensive tackle, their starting free safety, their punt returner. It's just too many injuries. I'm sorry. I think that because they banked some wins and their schedule's easy, they're going to get to 10 wins. They're going to make a wild card. But I'm very pessimistic on them right now. You've already said that you think they're going to lose at home to Detroit this week.
They haven't allowed more than 21 points this year. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but their defense did nothing last night. They got no pressure on Cutler. They gave up 150 yards to a garbage running back. I don't know. Hopefully it's a one-week woe vis-a-vis the defense. They have to force turnovers. When they get no turnovers and no pressure on the quarterback, they're not going to win games because they need their offense and they need to give their offense help. All right, and then they're tied, of course, he said, with the Packers. And did we both pick the Packers game this week already? Yeah, we both said they're going to beat Indy as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can the Packers win the Super Bowl?
Well, so if we were doing
from the NFC.
Well, so Dallas is clearly the favorite in the NFC right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I would put Seattle as the next favorite. You, according to your power rankings, would put Philly as the next favorite.
That's crazy. I think Philly's pretty good. But again, they're probably not going to win their division. They're going to be 5 or 6.
Their win over the Vikings was such a fluke. Yeah, so they're the 5 or the 6 seed. They got to go on the road for 3 games in a row. Yeah, not going to happen. All right, number 6 on our power ranking. Let's try and wrap this one up. Oakland Raiders, as we said, as I said, you overrate them. You have them all the way up at number 5. I have Oakland down at number 9. They're 6-2, but they've got a couple of really, really lucky wins in there.
Yeah, I mean, they only have one bad loss at home to the Kansas City.
Yeah, but look at a lot of their wins. They barely beat, Jacksonville and Tampa Bay and San Diego. I mean, a lot of fluky wins.
I mean, their defense is if you can block their front 7, then their defense isn't good. Like, there are games where they're just in the backfield all game long, but more often than not, that's not the case. I mean, this is a great game this week.
Oh, this is far and away the game of the week.
Yeah, I mean,
by huge leaps
if they could beat Denver or even, like, play a 50-50 game with Denver, you know, to me, that's this team should win a playoff game. The Raiders should win a playoff game this year.
Well, I don't know, because to me, they're going to be an underdog, because if they make the playoffs, they're going to do it as a wild card. I don't think they're winning the division, do you?
Well, yeah, but they could be the 5 seed and beat Indy by 4.
Oh, that's true, yeah. If they're the 5 seed,
they could beat Tennessee. They could beat Tennessee.
You'd rather be the 5 seed than the 3 seed, frankly, because, the 5 seed gets to play Tennessee or Houston.
Yeah.
The 3 seed has to play the other AFC West team, whether it's Kansas City or Denver or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think they got outclassed.
Denver will probably get a bye. Pittsburgh might be the 3 seed, but that's even worse.
Well, no, no, but we were saying if Oakland was the 3 seed, then that means they win the division. Would have to be, so they
but they would be the 2 seed. I think the AFC West winner will get the 2 seed, probably.
I have Oakland. Look, I thought that Denver would be favored on this game out on the road because I remembered what happened to Oakland when they played Kansas City at home, and I was obviously wrong. Oakland opened as a 1 point favorite. I'm going to pick Denver to go into Oakland and win this game.
Nah.
You're picking Oakland?
I'm going to pick Oakland. Yeah, I'm going to pick Oakland.
All right. That'll make it more interesting because that means that you know, Oakland will be in the lead in that division with the tiebreaker heading into their game at Denver later in the season. All right. Number five on our power rankings, Seattle. I have them up at number four. So I still believe in Seattle. You have them down at number nine. Russell Wilson is still getting healthy.
Wilson's been atrocious.
He hasn't been atrocious. He has
less running yards than Marquette King still.
Yeah, he's not running the ball, but he's been injured, and his offensive line stinks. But look, I'd so much rather have the Seattle offense than the Vikings offense right now by leaps and bounds.
Both of them scare me. You know, Buffalo's winning this game.
Yeah, wow, so good. Another disagreement there. All right, number four, Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 4-3, but you're, I guess, completely discounting, you know, the loss at Denver and then obviously a bye.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lose this week to fall to 4-4. I don't think Pittsburgh's making the playoffs, by the way.
It's in, who's winning the division? Cincinnati?
Yeah, I still think Cincinnati's
going to win. It's a garbage take. They haven't
played. But you looked at the schedule. Look at the schedules again. If Pittsburgh loses this week to fall to 4-4.
Wait, they haven't played likely, Cleveland or Baltimore yet.
They're losing to Baltimore this week without Roethlisberger.
And they still have Indianapolis. Like, the schedule's not bad other than the one Dallas game.
Okay. So if Ben doesn't play and they fall to 4-4 this week, okay?
There's a better chance they win the Super Bowl than miss the playoffs.
I'm looking at their schedule. All right, they have the Browns twice, so that's two easy wins.
Yeah.
They have the Ravens and Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know why. All right. Maybe I should revise that take.
They're not missing the playoffs.
Well, but I still think Cincinnati can win that division. Well, let's see. So this is a big game for them. Let's root for them to lose because I hate the Steelers. I don't want them in the playoffs. All right. Number three on our list is Denver. We already said they have game of the week. By the way, just like we have the exact same bottom three, we have the exact same top three. We both have Denver at number three. And no surprise, we have Dallas at number two, New England at number one. New England's on a bye this week. We already talked about the Cowboys.
By the way, terrible job of the NFL. They put that Denver-New England game in week 15. That's a couple weeks too late.
Well, but why? They that game should for the be one like, seed.
Nobody.
It should be in week 11, but they could be playing for the one seed.
Seeding doesn't interest fans. Never does.
I mean, that's the whole reason those teams are playing. They're not playing to see who makes the playoffs.
Hey, dummy. No one cares about seeding. Only the fans of that team care about seeding.
Okay, so then what are they playing for?
They're playing for seeding. I don't care about the seeding of New England and Denver on December
18th. But then why would you what would you have wanted to see that game in week 11 for that you wouldn't want to see it in week 15
Things
for?
Crystallize in December where my dumb mind doesn't acknowledge them on November 13th if they were playing in week 10. Do you understand? Where it's just, it's a game between two teams. Whereas everything in weeks 14 through 17 are just viewed through the prism of the playoffs, and who cares? And first of all, the Patriots could have clinched by week 15, the freaking number one seed, if Denver loses like in Oakland or in New Orleans, because there's a good chance the Patriots lose once or zero times the rest of the way. So that game could be totally meaningless.
It's possible, but very unlikely.
You forget from year to year, probably. No one cares about seeding of other teams. Uninteresting.
What is the reason that you want to see two top teams play each other?
To Whatever see two good is, teams play.
And it's no less true in week 15 than week 11.
You're wrong.
All right, disagree.
Let us know if you're Team Akiva or Team Chester here. Don't let us know. I mean, if you're Team Chester, you probably haven't even figured out how.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking that people are listening an hour and 20 minutes into the podcast.
No, this is good. This is a good one.
All right, this is a good one. All right, we're done, though, because my wife is going to murder me. And also, I need to watch the World Series. So.
No, you don't. The game's over already. It's 3-0.
Oh, I have it on pause, and I had no idea. I was intentionally avoiding sites.
Spoiler alert. You could have told me. I wouldn't have told you the score.
Well, I just said I have to go watch the World Series. That should have been a hint that I didn't know.
Do you know who's winning 3-0?
That's true. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, but you said it's over, which I assume means that Cleveland's winning.
All right. Who's number one?
You know what's so uninteresting? Who's number one at what?
We
finished our power rankings.
I didn't know you said the Patriots.
Yeah, we both have Dallas at number two. We both have New England at number one.
There's two games the Patriots could realistically lose. This week, obviously, or next game after the bye, Seattle. And then at Denver week 15 when they're 13-0.
Or Miami week 17 if they've clinched it all.
Yeah, would Belichick play hard at 15-0? Obviously he would.
They're not going to be 15-0. They already lost to Buffalo. What are you talking about?
I mean, if at 14-1, would he?
No, for sure not. If they're 15-0, he would. For 14-1, yeah. He's not Tony Dungy. He's got some self-respect.
Yeah.
But nobody cares about Corey 15-1 versus 14-2.
Don't insult my former coworker, Tony Dungy.
All right. This podcast is over. Bye.
Bye.